It's 8:07 on the Drex Radio Show. Good evening, everybody. It is the Late Night Late Show wrap-up. And it's really, really sad with this news coming out of, Atlanta with Bobby Christina. Oh, we're right here on the eve of the Grammys. And I'm such a big fan, and so many millions and millions of people loved Whitney Houston. And it's really eerie that here we are 3 years later, exactly almost to the day, and the daughter, Bobby Christina, her mother died from whatever was going on down there in Hollywood the day before the Grammy Awards. And now Bobby Christina, who is, we're waiting for them to declare her brain dead. And Bobby Brown, the father, he can't make up his mind whether he's looking for God-driven miracles to pull the plug or not. And Bobby's feelings are not shared by the doctors. They tell him, she will not improve, and pulling the life support is really, now's the time to do it. It's the appropriate thing to do. But the Brown family, they're very deeply religious, and they believe that doctors cannot account for miracles. And miracles, the family, they say that they've seen them before, and they're hoping for another one. So they will not pull the plug. You got to ask the question, when they declare her brain dead, is it time to pull the plug? And I know this is a very personal thing that a family has to make. It's an absolute tragedy. I mean, it's tragic and it is sad. It's heartbreaking. And I know that a lot of people are pulling for her, but once she's declared brain dead, and I'll take your calls on this 80-80-810. If you have any comments, when is the correct time? I know here in San Francisco. Thank you. I want to say good morning.
You say good morning.
Yes.
Been here since morning.
Yeah. Yes. Suzanne. Yeah. And you are Ron Owen's producer.
Yes.
Yes. Well, there's a story that happened a year ago here in San Francisco, and I wasn't here. So
right.
I don't feel like I have the authority to discuss it. But
to me, this whole Bobby Christina thing, it kind of echoed back to when Jahi McMath, a 12-year-old girl, had a similar situation in Oakland. So right now, Jahi is now 13. She has been, since she was about a year ago, they had had a sleep apnea surgery that had gone on, and it had gone awry. And what happened was she had a heart attack.
Right.
She had massive bleeding. And it was from either being poorly, taken care of or something. And when Jahi, sorry about that. Sorry, mic problems here. So anyway, so Jahi had gone through a sleep apnea surgery. And what happened with her was a year ago, she had a massive heart attack and bleeding. And everybody here in the Bay Area, it was kind of a personal thing of whether or not that she was declared brain dead. Is she still alive, though? When doctors declare you brain dead, they usually write you a death certificate.
Yes, and that's what they're trying to do in Atlanta.
Yes, right.
That's
so they're
what
trying
they're
to.
Advising.
Yeah,
yes.
They're advising that, hey, it's time, it's done. So with Jahi, though, the family with deeply religious beliefs said, no, she's still alive, and please put the feeding tubes. It was a court case. Many, many months had followed, and it was a long battle. And this seems like it's going to be the same way with Bobby Brown and the family of, is she dead or is she alive? And where do we go from here? Jahi is now in New Jersey, which is a state that, according under New Jersey law, they can actually put the ventilators back in. It allows them to reject the declaration of being brain death on religious grounds and allows brain dead patients to still be connected to ventilators. So will they move her? What could happen from here?
Right. Well, I think, and here lies the big problem for a lot of families. If you pull the plug, what if they linger?
It's true.
It could go on for weeks, months.
Forever.
Yes. A long time waiting for that miracle.
I feel with the Browns, though, they have a lot of money where they can kind of afford this kind of a situation. Whereas the McMath thing, they had to raise funds, and the family was always in debt from this. So is this kind of, does it matter that the Browns should do it because they have the financial reserves? Can they wait for this miracle? Or, you know, that's kind of where we're at.
80-88-10 is the number. 80-88-10. Where do you go from here? It's got, you know, it is the decision of a lifetime. And it's incredibly sad. It's heartbreaking. But what is the right moral thing to do? And by the way, if they do get that miracle, if she does wake up, I mean, she was unconscious for 5 minutes in the water, in the bathtub. What is that? What quality of life will there be? It's a really tough, tough call, and not one that it's not likely to be something that, you know, is easily done. But let's face it, the reality of the situation, although it's the hardest thing you ever had to do, when you have to make the decision, you got to make it. And, you know, there's a lot of things going on. I mean, how can you, I don't know. It would be the toughest thing ever, pulling the plug. Who wants to do that? And as it was recanted here with the story that Suzanne just shared, you know, what happened in the Bay Area, Bobby Brown is just adamant. He doesn't think that, you know, she should be taken off life support, that this should go on and on. But at some point, how do you decide? How do you decide? How do you make that decision? Good evening, it's 8:17 on the Drex Radio Show, and all right, let's get to the chop, chop, chop of weenie and leave your hands to yourself. So this story comes out of the CDC, and they've announced today for the first time federal recommendations concerning circumcision. That's right. Yes, it's that time again. Today, the U.S. Health Office and the officials released a draft of these brand new guidelines stating that medical evidence supports the procedure being done and that health insurance should pay for it. That's according to the Associated Press. So the whole circumcision debate is back in play. Circumcision, which removes the foreskin around the tip of the penis, has long been a matter of personal preference, you know, a religious thing, either here nor there, I suppose, but and cultural thing. But policy statements by the American Academy of Pediatrics already support the brief medical procedure. However, the CDC began working on its own, its own guidelines about 7 years ago, and when they set up these studies in Africa, suggested the surgical procedure might help stop the spread of AIDS. I don't know where you stand with all of this, but, you know, talking to a pregnant lady yesterday, and she's having her second child, she told me that she felt as though when she had her first son, that she was bullied into the circumcision thing, that she wanted to let the child decide when he was born. But the husband and the family, she felt bullied and did it. And she has regrets. She didn't want it done, but, you know, she caved in to the whole circumcision thing. And I'm surprised, you know, because here's the thing. The circumcision is safer than for the newborns than for older males. According to the guidelines, complication rates go from 0.5% in newborns to up to 9% when they're 1 through 9. And, you know, these stories, I was reading a story today about a 5-year-old circumcision, you know, and I can't imagine that. Talk about traumatic events in one's life. My God. Wow. Now, as an adult, you know, there are people who were not circumcised. They can make up their own minds when they are adults. And then, you know, there certainly are people out there who were circumcised who wish that they could have that fold back. And, you know, one of the things that I found this blog on Salon, where this guy says, you know, parents loving genital cutting, you know, sometimes it feels like they love the cutting more than they love their own children. And, of course, this is the anti-circumcision activists. And they talk about this is, you know, sort of edgy, but one of the problems is the story that I was reading, you know, is the story of this guy who was circumcised and he wished that he wouldn't have been. And so he's trying to restore himself and get his foreskin back. And, you know, and he said, one of the good things is, I wonder if you think that the path to change might be more open to discussion about, you know, the circumcision. So it removes the situation where you have a young boy in a locker room learning just by observing, looking at the other people, that he's different in some way. And that's a big deal. It was 10, 20, 30 years ago. I guess it depends where you are in the world. The bottom line is, you know, there is a decreasing rate of circumcision, about 58% in 2010. And in the world, of course, we're way off the scale. I mean, the rest of the world really doesn't. And it complicates things. It really does. It gets strange. But, you know, nowadays, there's a lot of influence coming in from other people and other cultures who are not getting their boys circumcised. 80-80-810. What do you think? I mean, yes, no? Should the kid decide? Should the mother or the child decide? And should there be an age of consent? You know, I mean, I don't know if you're 5 or 9, you can decide. By the way, it's an edgy comparison, but, you know, parents pierce the ears of baby girls all the time, or their babies when they're born. I don't think it's the same thing, but across the world, they don't do it. And, you know, studies have not shown that circumcision reduces an HIV-infected man's odds of spreading the AIDS virus to women. The research has also not found circumcision helpful in stopping the spread of HIV during gay sex either. And circumcision, as I said, is safer for newborns than older males. But, you know, the CDC declaring that you should go ahead and chop, chop, chop a weenie. Big deal. I don't know. I think that it is, and it's one that you have to think about. And by the way, if you're not comfortable with it, I think it's, you know, kind of unfair to, as I mentioned, the pregnant lady, you know, that she was bullied into it before with her first son. And now the discussion was, well, if you have one done, well, then you might as well have the other one done because you can't have brothers that, you know, that's going to be odd and awkward. The whole situation is 80-88-10 is the number. Let's go to the phone. Dan in San Francisco, you're on KGO.
Hey, it's not really a big deal, and it's just that people are kind of hung up about this because it involves sex. But, you know, if the kid's different from the father or different from the other kid in the locker room, you just tell them, hey, people are different, that's all. And then they go, yeah, it's okay, it's cool, all right, people are different.
Well, in this story, parents loving genital cutting more than they love their own children, and I know
that's BS.
Yeah,
that's
right, right. But, you know, this is one thing that the guy said, you know, there should be communication. If you circumcise your kid or you choose not to, and they're different. For instance, if you, I guess with the CDC throwing down, you know, their thought process of this for the land, that you should go ahead and circumcise them, then you should advise those who aren't circumcised. You should say to the kid, you know, talk to him. Look, you're different. I mean, because there is trauma for boys who go in the locker room or they see other kids and they don't know what's going on when they're young.
I mean, I'm a boy and my kids are boys, and we all went in the locker room and we saw different kind of penises. And he's like, it's not a big deal. People are different. And if they say, well, why did you cut me? You say, well, we just thought it was best. And, you know, these guys that are anti-circumcision, I hate to say it, but they're just neurotic, and they're focusing on small difference that makes no real social difference.
Well,
no,
you know,
personal difference.
Well, okay, here's the thing. The reality is 80-88-10 is the number, 80-88-10. The reality of the situation is there are males out there who think that, you know, the sensation is much more when you're not, you know,
well,
circumcised.
I mean,
there's much, you know, you're cutting off all those thousands of nerve endings.
Well, you can't find out that people who have been circumcised have more sex or less sex than people who haven't.
No, I don't think, sure.
Okay. I'm circumcised. I enjoy sex great. And I don't see why it's a big deal to other people. You know, it's like, get over it. My parents made a decision. I might not have agreed with it if it was my decision, but it's just what I grew up with. I might not have agreed with being born in New York either, but that's just what happened.
Well, at least you're here now. All right. Thank you very much. I do appreciate the call. Let's go to, let me see here. How do I pronounce your name? Ryga?
Ryoga.
Hi, good evening.
Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
There's 1,001 issues that we could discuss about, you know, this in particular, but I think one that is probably going to get missed out on is what it looks like when you find a mate and that awkward conversation that, you know, the female might, you know, you have, you know, when you're in intimate moments and they're like, oh, that's kind of gross. And
yes.
Granted, some females might like the look of it, but more likely than not, it'll be a deterrent.
Well, what do you mean a deterrent if they're not circumcised?
Well, some females just really don't like the look of it.
I know,
but a lot of females don't like the look of an uncircumcised male. I remember years ago. Do you remember the series Nip Tuck?
Yes,
on FX
for sure.
Do you remember the episode where the doctor's son, you know, got with a girl and like, you know, he pulls the pants down and she's like, oh, that's weird, and like he ended up trying to do it himself with, you know, with a razor blade and some alcohol like in the back. Like the social stigma behind it is really it really affects the male. To be different, it's hard enough being different from
yes.
whatever you're like.
It for sure does, and especially when the parents don't explain it. I mean, this
yeah.
is where this comes into play, because you know it's kind of like, okay, we made the decision, and then it's never explained to the child, and you know they have to discover on their own through time, why am I different?
And I can understand parents, you know, being conflicted with the decision. You know, like, oh, should we wait? Should we let them make a decision? You know, the child make a decision when they're older, but. I once saw a video, you know, of it because I'd never known the process. And I saw a video of had it been a 3 or 4 year old, you know, having it done, or maybe 3. And it's better to get it done early, you know. And if you're religious and you choose not to, that's great. But understand, like, down the line, like, your child is going to have some issues somewhere. And it's too bad that, you know, nature hasn't, you know, given us what we need as is, or that we have to come in and alter things, you know, to be what we consider perfect or acceptable.
Right. Well, there's I'm running out of time. Thank you very much for listening. I don't want to pull the plug, but on your call, but you know, that's exactly right. It's a lot of people out there who are activists say, why change the human body? It was perfect the way it came out. Why mess with it? All right, let's take a break and we'll be back. You're listening to Late Night Late Show Wrap Up on the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
Now it cuts like a knife, but it feels so right.
Chop, 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 a weenie. You're listening to the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810. Good evening, everybody. It's 8:37, and we were talking about the CDC just today putting out. Yes, they have announced new guidelines saying circumcision benefits outweigh the risk, and go ahead and cut your kid when they are born. But, you know, here's the bottom line. They also say, and they will admit, that 1/6 of the population of the planet is, that's it. Only 1/6 is circumcised. So that leads to 83% of the men walking around on this planet. Well, they're intact. You know, it's something that's just going on here. So why do it? I mean, or should you let the kid decide, or the child, or the adult? When they're an adult, they can decide whether they want to be circumcised or not. Why should you make the decision? And also, mothers who are bullied into it. They don't want to do it, but, you know, the family, the husband says, I'm cut. You're cutting the kid. 800-480-8810. And then parents who don't explain it to their children, those who don't circumcise, and they're walking around uncircumcised and they don't explain to the kid, why are you different? I think there's trauma involved with that either way. And it is a fact. You know, the rest of the planet doesn't do it. We do. And we listen to what the government says. It's a personal decision. Don't you think so? 80-88-10. And maybe an individual's decision. Not yours. It's your child's decision. 80-88-10. Perhaps? Maybe? What do you think? Let's talk to Kathy in Willits. Good evening. You're on the Drex Radio Show.
Hi.
Hi. Good evening.
Hi. I'm Kathy from up here. And listen, when I had my son, you know, circumcision was the whole thing. My husband had been circumcised, but my father and my brother had not been circumcised. And I had, my pediatricians were Jewish, and their ritual was to circumcise.
Well, sure. Well, that's a religious reason.
But they told me that if it was not a religious thing with them, they would not circumcise their child. And it was a big discussion at that time. My son is 29. And I just said to myself, no, you're not cutting up my child before he has a right to know.
Well, this is where I was coming from, you know, talking to the pregnant lady yesterday. She says, you know, the first child, I feel really guilty and I feel bad about it because I did not want to cut him, but I was bullied into it.
Yes. Well, you know, I was lucky because my sister, her son was born a year before mine was. And I went with her to talk to the pediatricians about it. And that's where I got my whole thing. They said, why? Because, you know, what they used to do is just pull the baby out of the mother, slap him on her stomach, and circumcise him.
Absolutely. No questions asked. That time has gone.
Of course.
Yes.
And it better be gone because it's ridiculous. And when Dr. Adele was on the radio, and I think he might be Jewish also, he said that they were thinking of it as almost a form of child abuse.
And there are people out there who think that. And then there are men, you know, who all of a sudden they become men and they're like, where's my foreskin? I want it back.
Well, that's
and why did you
thing.
Take it away?
And I feel the same way about the piercing of the ears. I'm sorry. Quit chopping up your kids before they have a chance to know what's going on.
And a lot of people agree with you. And I thank you very much,
Kathy.
I hope
so.
Thank you.
I hope so. I hope that's the wave of the future.
Now, when you didn't circumcise your child, just before you go, where is he? Did he ever come to you and say,
oh, my God, he's fabulous. He is a paramedic.
But did you have the conversation with him as an adolescent?
Well, yes, I did.
Okay.
Not
well, that's the important
when he was a
part.
Little kid.
Right.
Because I had to teach him how to clean his little self there. And but, you know, he went to the pediatricians until he was almost 21. And they were fabulous. We had the most wonderful, and they're all gone now. So, unfortunately, I don't know. But they were the most wonderful people that you could have ever had when you had a child.
And again, it's what you did is correct. You told him from the get-go, as you could understand.
My husband was circumcised.
Right, so, you know, just seeing dad naked.
When they got in the shower together, no, daddy was this and he was that.
Right, and the kid needs to know why. And I thank you very much for listening. I do appreciate it. Let's talk to Randy and Hayward. Good evening. You're on the Drex Radio Show. 80-88-10 is the number to KGO 810. Good evening, Randy.
Good evening. I just wanted to say that I am uncut, uncircumcised, never a problem, taught proper hygiene as a little boy, you know, disease-free, never an issue. My parents, that was their decision. As a little boy, yeah, in the locker room, I felt a little uncomfortable in, you know, junior high school.
Did your parents tell you?
Yeah.
Well, they did.
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely. They were up front. And I got married and I didn't have premarital sex until, you know, the wedding night. I was happily married for 10 years and it was never an issue with my wife. And later in life, you know, I came out as a gay man and it's still never an issue. And today I'm 60 years old and happy and healthy and never a problem, HIV negative, I think a lot of that is a myth. As long as you're educated about yourself,
I think so too. Yes. Well, the CDC, by the way, the CDC, even though they came out and said today the benefits outweigh the risk, they say the HIV stuff is all bunk.
It is, and I have friends that are even envious of the fact that, you know, I am uncircumcised, and some of them, a friend of mine even bought a book to try to figure out how to grow some foreskin back.
Absolutely, as I was talking about, yes, with the whole tugging procedure, yes.
Absolutely, and he, you know, went through that to try to do that. So,
did it
you
work?
Know,
it,
I haven't looked, but he you know, says that there has been a change in that, but you have to be, you know, very dedicated to wanting that. But I, as a young kid, I did feel a little, you know, different, but as an adult, you know what? No big deal. Love it the way it is.
And you have 10,000 more nerve endings than the other guy.
You know what? I don't, I probably do. I've never really taken a poll on it, but I'm fine and I'm happy and I'm healthy.
And by the way, you brought up something which piques my interest, and that is the whole thing of cleanliness, you know, that they talk about all the time. Doesn't nature kind of take care of itself?
Yes. But, you know, being taught as, you know, a child that, you know, you do, you know, retract the foreskin and you clean yourself. I mean, it's just part of taking a shower and personal hygiene. And, you know, that's it. But there's never been, if you really look at medical journals, there's never been a disease based on someone being uncircumcised and not keeping themselves clean. I mean, it's all a myth. It really is.
Okay. All right. I thank you very much for listening and have a good night. Have a good weekend.
Thank you.
Oh, you bet. Okay. Let's go to Hoden in San Jose. You're on the Drex Radio Show on KGOA 10. Good evening.
Good evening.
Yes. So you prefer your son circumcised?
Yes.
Okay. Well, what do you have to say about it? I mean, might the child want to make that individual decision himself?
My father was circumcised, and my two brothers were circumcised, and I'm 25, and my son is 4, and I just follow the footsteps because of the health benefits, and I mean, the culture thing is the number one, plus they said it's just the more healthier if you just circumcised when the boys are too young, so...
Well, and you said you nailed it. I mean, if it's a cultural thing or a religious thing, then I think that, you know, I totally agree with you. And I wish you a very good weekend. I've got to take a break and we'll be back. The Late Night Late Show wrap up on the way on the Drex Radio Show on KGOA 10. Good evening, everybody. It is the Drex Radio Show, the Late Show Late Night wrap up coming up. And we've got 7 more days until the 50 Shades of Grey, 8 more days until Valentine's Day, 11 more days until Mardi Gras. And we have 1 month, 30 more days. Hallelujah. 30 more days until daylight savings time begins. But right now, let's boldly go where no Wheaties have gone before. These are the voyages of Starship Belinda Jenner. Okay, of course, I'm talking about Chris. Well, we'll talk about Chris. She had no idea that Bruce wanted to be a woman. I don't know how you didn't know that, but nonetheless, Bruce Jenner is in the cross-sex hormone therapy process. According to TMZ, just breaking here hours ago. Now, Bruce, who's been married 3 times, he's had 6 children, could become attracted to men after the powerful element of his transition into a woman takes hold. This according to medical experts and the transgender community. I don't know about that, but he spent several days surveying the experts, and, you know, he's in the middle of cross-sex hormone therapy. Now, I guess Diane Sawyer is going to land the big interview with him, and he's still him until he feminizes and becomes the individual and he wants to speak as her. That's an individual's decision, and I think that's the way it should be treated. But here's the thing, and it's his business, it's his life. I don't know if he should have done it a long time ago if he wanted to, or what your thoughts are, 80-80-810, you know. Yeah, there are people out there saying, oh, well, he was the hero for all the men of America in an entire generation. I can't believe that he would do something like this. Well, it's his life, man. If he's a she, well, then he's a she. What's the big deal? 80 80 810 is the number to KGO. 80 80 810. Why not? And do you think that him in this role is a good idea for the transgender community? By the way, I mean, here's the thing. The bottom line is he's going to be the most famous transgender person in the world. Because as a man who won the Olympics and all those gold medals, the world knows who Bruce Jenner is. At least our generation. Maybe not so much the younger generations. But nonetheless, you know, him doing this, could he be an activist for the transgender community, the LGBT community? 80-88-10 is the number if you have a thought. But, you know, look, here's one leader in the community says, based on 300 transsexuals in various countries, one-third of them retained their sexual preference, one-third identified themselves bisexual, and one-third were, you know, they changed their sexual preference. And the 300 that TMZ talked to, obviously there's a whole lot more. As for Bruce, we're told he's in this transformation stage where his skin will change and his breasts will grow and his voice will become more feminine. And the changes are enhanced by procedures that Bruce has already completed, including the Botox, the facial laser hair removal, and several surgeries. I mean, they had the shaving of the larynx and so forth. And I think that, you know, there's always a lot of haters out there, and including, I don't think Kris Jenner hates on it, but Kris Jenner, his ex-wife, says she's in the dark over the sex change until recently. And, you know, again, back to TMZ, Kris heard all the buzz about Bruce, and he never told her, according to her, and she never asked. Now, that sounds incredible, but we're told there was a serious lack of communication in the marriage. Well, no kidding. If you watch the Kardashians, you could understand why, right? Come on. But when they had their family sit down, and really, I mean, at this point, okay, when they had their family sit down, which of course was recorded, hello, it's the Kardashians and the Jenners, we're told that Kris squarely challenged Bruce, disbelieving he truly wanted a sex change. Things got heated because Bruce insisted he was both uncomfortable and, you know, he was and determined. He's uncomfortable with them not getting it. But he's determined that he will do what he wants to do. And we're also told by TMZ that Kris felt that this was a shining example of the fundamental problem that they had in their marriage. They hardly communicated with each other. And Bruce especially was shut down. Well, again, no kidding. All you had to do is watch the show. He didn't want anything to do with that. Why do you think there was a communication problem in that marriage? They never saw each other. He, you know, if you watch this, any of the show, oh my God, you would run to the other corner too. I don't know if you would change your sexuality or your sex, you know, you would become transgender, but I'm sure that this is something that he's thought about for a long time. And perhaps he just never decided to bring it up to his wife. You know, we all have things that we keep to ourselves. But I don't know about you, but I certainly support him in his efforts. If he wants to become a she, then so be it. And I think all the people that are laying into him, oh, this is unbelievable. How could this happen? You know, he's our Wheaties man. Now, he's no one's Wheaties man. He's an individual who gets to make his own decision. And I think that's the way it should be. And as it should be, it will be. The Late Night Late Show wrap-up coming up next on the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.